Okay. We were talking about this topic. We're still on this topic of bal ta'acher. Not being late. Not showing up late.
We can probably.
Not always.
You got three.
Yeah, you'll be here.
Technically, you didn't start, so I wasn't late.
Yeah. So the Gemara wants to know. The last word on the previous das va'achte b'cholzot mid ben Azai nafka. Where do we learn this din out? Titania ben Azai Omer oto. Which oto are we talking about here? Here's the pasuk. In Vayikra Perek Zayin, it says ve'im he'ochel ye'ochel mibsar zevach shlamav biyom hashlishi. If you don't finish eating the korban on time, lo yeratzeh hamakriv oto, lo yechashev lo, pigul yiyeh. Pigul is this idea of
expired.
Yeah. Well, it's worse than expired. The word pigul is like toeva. It's foul. It's despicable.
Like all those. Pagama words.
Yeah, like
Pega, Paga,
Pagum,
Pagum,
Pagum. Pargit? No, Pargit is tasty.
Pargit is from Greek.
No, Pargit is from Greece?
Yeah. It's from Greece, the word is. Like it's a pterodactyl.
No, Pereg is different because there's a ration there. Pargit and pterodactyl are from the same show?
Helicopter.
Because they're both birds. Hamakriv oto lo yechashev lo pigul. Mimenu avanotisa. So what's that got to do with Ben Azai Omer oto ma Talmud lomar lefish neemar lo ta'acher l'shalmo shomeani af me'achar nidro. Beval yeratze. Talmud lomar, oto below yeratze. Ve'ein ma'acher nidro below yeratze. In other words, I might have thought if I'm late with the korban, and we're looking for the source of the idea that bal ta'acher does not invalidate the animal for sacrifice. You're supposed to bring your neder, you have your goat, you're supposed to bring it by the third Aliyah L'Regel that comes up. If you don't, you're in violation of the law of Bal Ta'acher, but that animal is still kosher for a korban. You bring it late, you can still pay it. Elama. You have a love. You have like this mark on your record. In other words, like the Arnona bills came today. I always get a kick of the fact there's like that little discount if your Arnona is on a Harat Keva.
Right.
If your Arnona is on a Harat Keva, you get off 12 shekels. Every year. No, the Arnona gets bigger every year, so it's all relative. I think it's like 12 shekel discount.
No, it's like a percent or something.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. A very, very small percent of a percent. So mine is...
It might be a percent.
No, it is not 2%.
A percent, maybe.
It is not 1%. Halavai, 12 shekel was 1% of my Arnona bill.
The percent also has gone down over the years.
I don't remember what my Arnona is, but it's... Arnona? It's the bill, which is the Arnona and the water and the Shmirah and everything else.
These are around 1,400 shekel.
More, even.
There's a lot of water.
But, so...
Where's Arnona from? I don't remember. I guess it's from Yerushalayim.
Where does that neighborhood get?
No, that's the name of the neighborhood is not named after the tax.
Presumably.
Right? It's named after the Nachal Arno.
Which you can allegedly see from there.
Which is nearby. It's that the valley underneath, you know, where the where the
Chanon is in Jordan.
U.S. consulate.
The consulate.
Yeah.
It drops off.
Below, right, the below that.
Right, so under that is they call it, I don't know if it's the biblical Nachal Arnon.
Nachal Arnon is in Jordan. Why would they call it? Why would that be?
And when they moved out there, right, and the neighborhood was, when the neighborhood was started, it was not part of Yerushalayim. You can see this most distinctly when you visit Beit Agnon. Beit Agnon is a Bauhaus-style building. It was built in 1931, and it's covered in stucco, not in Jerusalem stone. How can it not be covered in Jerusalem stone? Because when it was built, it was not part of the municipal law that said all the buildings have to be covered in Jerusalem stone. Did not apply out there. So when the first people moved out to Arnona in the early 1920s, I think, the first child born in the neighborhood was named Arnon. Maybe because he was named after the Nachal Arnon.
The daughter of Ben Sion Luria.
The daughter of Ben Sion Luria.
I wrote about it in 2011.
You wrote about it?
I said that, why is the Jews in the neighborhood Arnona called that? So either two theories. One is that it's named for the Arnon River in Jordan, which empties in the Dead Sea, which is visible from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's not actually the name of the or there's named for the daughter of Ben Sion, the daughter of Ben Sion Luria, who herself was named for the river.
But there's no fully known in Jerusalem.
No, but you can see it from there. And it's from Agnon writes it from
day.
No.
You can see it from Mela.
From Agnon writes it from the roof of Beit Agnon, which is not a high building. I mean, it's like the second Komash Miyah.
For sure.
You could see, why? Because it's up on the hill.
In the winter, on Rechol Lev Yefe, you can see.
You can see what?
You can see down to the Dead Sea.
Okay.
And Nachal Arnon empties into there for.
So there's Nachal Yarden and Nachal, I forgot the other three.
Okay. Oh, you like this, the origin of a tax Arnon comes from an adaptation of annus, like an annual payment.
Like from?
From the Latin... Annos.
So where do you get the R from?
That happens a lot. You find that like ratios get entered into words that didn't happen before. But
like
it was,
soder.
Yeah, but you find in the Hebrew, you find in Midrash Rabbah Anona or Anona.
But it must have had a name. It must have given it some name prior.
It was an annual tax.
There was a name like you know, like we have, like why is that over there? Why is that neighborhood called Barkan? Because the Kablan's name was Barkan. Why is Roscoe called Roscoe? Because the Kablan. So I think that's it. Had some like name, like actually it might have been. I may be mistaken. It might have originally been called something Bayit Vegan. For the same reasons that Bayit Vegan became Bayit Vegan.
Everybody had a little house in the garden.
I think that Barkan's official name is something like Ganei
Efrat. Mashu could say, yeah, but. Yeah. Anyway.
So you got your Arnona bill. And there's a 12-second
discount.
Ah, you're fit. What? But if you don't have it set up on the roof, Kevin, in order to get the 12-shekel discount, so you have to go into the post office or into the area, into the Moitza, and pay it. So it's due on the 15th. If you don't pay on the 15th, you're late. If you show up on the 16th, you know what they're going to do? They're going to take your money. So at a certain point, you have to pay a knas, I suppose, but not if you're one day late. So the same thing with the korban. You have to bring the korban by the third Aliyah Reg. If you don't bring the korban, you still have to bring the korban. Elama, you have a knas. What's the knas? The knas is that you have a lav. Right, that's the baal.
It's very strange there wouldn't be a... So many other korban don't have a financial knas.
A financial knas?
No, like if you exchange your korban, you steal. There's the things that have that are like related. And here you figure because like, let's say somebody doesn't really care that much about the mikdash, so you know you want them to you forget them in the korban, the kohanim are going to eat whatever. You want to make sure they would be more careful. So I guess you know. It's not just a purely between you and God.
Bring thing. The first korban, how are you going to force them to bring the second korban?
Well, there's some. And that applies to anything. But I'm saying, you just on your own.
But you also have the problem that this goat is hektish. In other words, I was makdish this goat. when I makdish this goat,
but you have to bring even if you weren't makdish the goat. If you didn't bring, if you weren't makdish a particular goat, you'd still have to bring a korban.
Seder, and that's the difference between neder and dava. Right.
I'm saying, but even for a korban chava, you'd still have to bring the goat.
Right.
So most korbanot don't become pigul, is what you're saying.
No, this is in terms of neder, and as pigul doesn't apply. As
no,
neder,
but even the korban itself, you didn't give it. It still can be given, but it's just you were late.
Right, as a pigul is pigul has to do with your lachshav. This is we got off onto this long sidetrack last week about what I called metaphysical sins. Right, in other words, your machshava affects the reality of the korban. That's pigul. You have intentions, the wrong intentions in terms of sacrificing it. Where you're sacrificing, when you're sacrificing, it creates a mum. But Baal Ta'acher does not create a mum in the animal.
Right.
It creates a mark on your record in terms of having this love.
Right.
The pasuk that you read before, so said im the
im he ochel yochel mibsar zevach shlama biyom ashlishi.
So what's the situation here? I know that when I bought the carbon, and I'm allowed to eat it for like 2 days, and I think when I bring in the carbon, I'm going to eat it on the third day. The carbon is pasul.
Yeah.
But if I had the right intentions, and I didn't finish it.
That's a different issue. That's called notar. These are two different issues.
This pasuk is not notar.
No, this is pigul. Rashi says, im he'ochel yo'ochel b'machashev b'shchita le'achlo. In other words, Rashi said, the Gemara... Gemara reads it doesn't mean if you eat it. It means if you think about eating it, right? If when you're making the korban and you're thinking, right, you're, in other words, you're bringing the korban on Yom Rishon, and as you're bringing the korban, you're thinking, like I made a big roast beef. Shalom came home from the army. Baruch Hashem. Bariva Shalem. He finished, he was Mishtachrer. So he came home, he wanted something special. He said, it's all the time chicken here. Right? Can we have some meat? So we went. We bought a nice big roast beef. So I'm making. It was, but I knew that we bought more than even Shlomi could eat. This is the thing with Shlomi. He doesn't eat that much. He just eats constantly. So slow and steady wins the race. Yeah. So I said I'm making this. But I know I'm making it. We'll have leftovers. We just had leftovers now on Tuesday night, and there's still leftovers. We'll have on Wednesday. So I knew when I was making it, I'm making it on Friday, Lechavot Shabbat. But I knew that we'd be eating from it on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday. If it was a korban, that would have been pigul. Right. But that would have been pigul. The kavana that I'm making extra. Right, you're making soup, you're making the extra big pot, you should have leftovers. Right? So that's pigul. And notar is you make it, and then echshu, you don't finish the leftovers.
So then in that case, if you eat the notar, it's also an avera.
It's also an avera, but it's a different...
It doesn't invalidate the korban.
It doesn't invalidate the korban. It's a separate issur that comes if you, in fact, did not succeed. The hakrava, in a case of notar, at the time of the hakrava, everything is completely beseder. Right? Elama, along the way, you messed up because there were leftovers and you didn't finish them in time, so you get a lav for notar. Pigul, the hakrava is no good because you introduce this puzzle. Machshava. So what's the difference? How do we know that Baal Ta'acher doesn't invalidate the korban? The word oto. It's oto teaching.
He introduced the pasul machshava. He had this korban on whatever day it is. It's Sunday. It's decided on Sunday. This is what he's bringing for Shmini. 3 days pass, and then it becomes pigul.
No, then it becomes notar.
But he hasn't even given, he didn't lakriv it.
No. When pigul happens at the time of hakrava, right? You're bringing the korban, and if as you're being makriv it, you're thinking, I'm going to eat this
on the fourth
outside of the mikdash, or I'm going to eat this outside of the time limit, then the etzem hakrava is pasul.
But you would still, let's say, he waited till that. Okay.
Right.
The 3 days has to do from the time when he what?
Yeah, no, see, no, yeah, no. That's how Rashi reads the pasuk. Rashi says, "What are you? What's the 3 days? The 3 days is what you're thinking. You're thinking that I'm going to eat it after the third day, or on the third day and further. So then you can't even eat it 10 minutes after the hakrava.
In other words, the shlamim is different from the other korbanot in that it has a designated
any korban that has a deadline for when it has to be eaten,
like a tamid or a shlamim.
Yeah, right. If you have kavanah that you're going to eat it outside of its deadline or outside of its physical space, that creates a psul in the korban at the time of the hakrava.
And if you never makriv, you've had this thought on your way to Yerushalayim.
Yeah, so then you probably should not be makrivit. It's like any other korban. You're on the way to Yerushalayim, and your goat falls down and breaks its leg.
So you can't.
It's now a balmum, right? So you can't be makrivit.
You can't
do it. That's what you do with like korbanot. That's this idea of yistaev. You let it hang around.
He was on his way to Yerushalayim.
It's like the turkey. President pardons the turkey. What do they do with it? Well, they can't. No, he can't eat it. The president pardoned it, so they give it to a petting zoo someplace and they let it live out its days at the petting zoo. That's what you do with the korban. That's what you do with the animal that extra becomes possible from the time that you're makdish it to the time that it could have been. You know what? There's this long-standing minhag in America that the day before Thanksgiving.
It's not that long-standing.
What?
I think it's since Obama.
No.
I think it goes back to Rich Truman or Roosevelt. Yeah. They bring the Turkey Growers Association of America brings a turkey to present. It happened once they brought a turkey to present a turkey for Thanksgiving that they would shecht it and serve it up in the White House. And I think it was Truman or Eisenhower.
Maybe Eisenhower, like his daughter or something. Somebody was,
I don't know. And the kid said, "Oh yeah, Abba, how are you gonna? Maybe she said, Tati. How are you gonna kill this nice turkey?" So the president, using his pardon, his power to pardon, pardon the turkey that it shouldn't be shechted. They had to kill a different turkey to eat for Thanksgiving, but this turkey in the photo op. And so that started this minhag that they always bring the turkey and the
Can you pardon me for still being confused for a second here? And I did actually review what we did last week, but I'm still really confused. I understand l'acher. That's a korban that you made neder to bring, and you have three chagim to bring it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not talking about it. We're now talking about a shlemim or a tamid, which has a time period in which it has to be consumed. Yeah?
Yep.
And a place where it has to be consumed.
Yep. And if, while you're sacrificing it...
This is the time when it becomes pigul. That's when you're sacrificing it.
Only when you're walking through Shalai, that's what you said a minute ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, at any point. After you've been makdishit, if you...
Well, when you're sacrificing it mean? Is that when you're, like, have a knife in your hand?
You don't have a knife in your hand, you're giving it to the coin, so...
Yes, I don't know what's the point that we're. But in other words, let's say up until the shechita. So like once the animal is shechted, I don't know whether it's the shechita, the zrikat adam. You could look that up in Zvachim.
So that doesn't matter as much to me. Once this is an animal that you're bringing for shlemim, you've designated this. So you have to bring a shlemim, whatever it is you've designated. This is the animal, the shlemim.
You're on shlamim. Your way. Shlamim.
Shlamim. This is your. You've designated it. You're on your way. Everything is fine and good. You know that once it's makriv, you have 3 days to consume it. You have to consume all of it. It's nota. Somewhere along this process, you think to yourself, you know what? Having all the mishpacha over on the fourth day after it's been makriv. This is when I really want to eat it. By saying this, which is a kind of a stupid thing to do, but you've done this really stupid thing. You've made your animal pigul. It's no good for anything. It's done with.
Right.
Yeah, that's easy to avoid that. In other words, if you thought they have all this company coming, they didn't know about. So instead of bringing it on Sunday, bring it on Monday.
Yeah, okay, whatever it is, but
that's true.
Once you get into the mikdash and you've started the process, you can't.
I don't want to dray this much longer.
Too late.
Okay. He's on his way there, and he's thinking, you know, he understands all of the halachas regarding it. And he thinks to himself, oh, wow, you know, the mishpacha is coming on Wednesday. Mom, it's believe it or not. Oy, I can't do that.
I don't know. You can learn the sugyas of pigul to find out exactly how much machshavah you
need. Okay,
next, maybe when we finish with Rosh Hashanah, we'll learn zvach.
Maybe not.
Speaking of Zvachim, when's the barbecue?
Good question. We are going to the States on the 18th. We'll be back from Tisha B'Av. So after Tisha B'Av.
Well, you can't do it anyway.
Before the 18th.
We can look into before the 18th.
Does tomorrow work?
Anyway, let's go back, because we've only managed to do two lines. Shomeani af ma'acher nidro b'val yeratze Talmud lomar oto the pigul case below yeratze. If you do pigul, then the korban is not accepted. Ve'ein ma'acher nidro below yeratze. But if you are late with bringing a regular korban, bringing a neder and a dava, whatever it is, so then it does not invalidate the korban. It just chalks up to you the iser of Baal Ta'akhir. Ella Bechachet.
In you is the chedar of the
animal. Right? And in you and not the animal. Where that was the, that was that other pasuk we saw. Right? Ki, this is Dvar and Perikov Gimel. Ki tidor neder l'Hashem Elokecha, lo ta'acher l'shalmo, ki darosh yidrashen Hashem Elokecha. Hashem is demanding you to bring this. Don't be late. Hashem demands you to be on time. Me'imach, v'haya b'chachet. B'chachet v'lo an animal. But not only that, the Gemara says, if you're over on Baal Ta'acher, so the chet's in you. And the chet is not in your wife.
What's the
havamina that it should be on your wife? Well, in other words, there are, if you're late in bringing the arnona, so much that they're going to fine you. Well, the fine's also on both of you, have a joint bank account. But that's not what the Gemara is talking about.
It must be related to the idea of the Nerim, because the husband's wife said.
Ah, that's a very interesting idea. Well, we learned this at great length, that the husband, you remember Nadar? Who can forget? You remember Megillah? We finished Megillah? Before Megillah, there was Nadar. And much of the time in Nadarim we spent on this topic of Hafarat and Hatarat Nadarim. Mm-hmm. The idea that Hafarat Nadarim, that the husband or the father has certain rights over his wife or minor daughter's Nadarim. But that's not what's here. This is his Nadar, right? In other words, he makes a Nadar to bring the sacrifice. If he doesn't do it in time, Havamina, that his wife will get punished. Kamash Malon. What? Why? Why, you ask? Well, don't you think that's what the Gemara is going to say? Yeah, okay. Salka dat chamina. What's Salka dat chamina? Samech dalet aleph? I might have thought, what does Salka dat chamina say? What does it do? How does it function in the Gemara?
I'm going to answer your question before you even ask it.
No?
What I might have thought.
I might have thought it spells out the havamina. Right? In other words, if I don't say this, I might have thought. What do we know about a havamina by definition?
It's not real.
It's going to be rejected.
Right. I'm going to answer your question before you even answer.
Right, but then I'm going to answer.
You were going to say this, but I'll tell you why.
Right, it's a very Jewish way of. Salka dat chamina ho il v'omer Rabbi Yochanan v'itema Rabbi Elazar. Since Rabbi Yochanan, some say it was Rabbi Elazar, said, "Ein ishto shel adam meta ela imkein mevakshin mimenu mamon v'ein lo." There's an idea that if a man owes someone money, let's say a man took a loan, right, or he purchased something on credit, which is also like a loan, right? And the person comes to collect, and the guy says, "I can't pay you." That's a bad thing. You should be careful to pay your debts. So the Gemara says that a man's wife, is punished by death. In other words, men's wives die. You know how. In how many cases a man's wife dies? In every single case.
Well, 3%.
Right? Oh. It's been proven that everyone who ever lived, except for those who are currently living, has died. Right? So the fact that someone dies...
Living is terminal.
Yes?
There's good research on that.
Dying is not ipso facto a consequence of sin or an indication that the dead person has sinned. But in certain cases, death is punishment for sin. So generally speaking, everyone is responsible for their own selves, for their own chataim, for their own averas, for their own... So a man's wife is not responsible for his own sins, for the man's sins. In certain cases, she might be punished for certainly. And one of them is this idea of this outstanding loan which isn't repaid. Shnei Amar, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, ve'im ein lecha l'shalem, lama yikach mishkovecha mitachtecha. In other words, the Chacham says, look, and you owe money, and you don't pay, or you can't pay. Well, you should pay. If you don't pay, so why should they take your bed out from underneath you, or your mattress out from your sheets out from underneath you?
Kill your wife.
No, so what does the Gemara do with this pasuk? And what's the idea? If you don't pay up the money, so your creditor
can take something.
Can
your kneecaps.
Well, not exactly, but they can repossess your property. So in other words, it's like the equivalent of saying, like, why should you have to give the shirt off your back? So when the pasuk
and Mishlei, they can come and take your TV.
Right. So when the pasuk and Mishlei talks about the idiomatic take the shirt off your back, it says why should it take the bed out from under you? So what's the bed out from under you? How is that interpreted metaphorically?
Your wife.
Right. It's who shares your bed. Right. So ema b'hai avon. So say in that case of the unpaid debt, the woman is susceptible to this punishment. Debalta acher nami ishto meta komash malon. I might have thought that also that balta acher is a similar. It's parallel to the case of an unpaid debt.
Ishto meta is the point is that it's saying it's metaphorically speaking. It's they take your bed.
In other words, it's like this: in the case of an unpaid debt. If you are unable to pay your debts, so that creates a cosmic circumstance in which your wife is liable to bear the punishment for this. Where do Chazal get that idea from? From this pasuk in Mishlei that says you don't pay your debts, they could take the bed right out from under you.
I understand.
Right?
How do we get from that to Ishto Meta?
No, because...
What's your fault?
What?
No, Meta, like, are we saying...
That's what I mean. That have your wife taken away from you. Your wife taken away from you means she dies.
How did we get from... they can repossess some of your possessions.
That's what somebody said.
Because they use the language of taking the bed, therefore they say that's actually an inference.
It's a euphemism for...
It's metaphorically speaking.
Yes, it's a euphemism for the idea of your wife being...
Metaphorically speaking.
Yes, yes.
Don't learn halakha.
No, they're saying it's real.
It's not that.
I understand. I was trying to understand.
No, it's not a metaphor for the wife. The wife is real. The metaphor is the bed.
The metaphor is the opposite. Means your wife. Doesn't mean your bed. Says your bed, it means your wife.
What? That doesn't make sense, though.
No,
well, that's a different
way. No, because they're saying...
So this is what Rabbi Yochanan, or maybe it was Rabbi Elazar, said.
What's the wife for?
So the idea that your wife...
To say that your wife is liable for your debt is one thing. You know, your joint account and...
No,
you know,
she's not that way.
But I'm saying, to say that, you know, someone's punished all by death, like...
I don't know.
Well, so here's your question. So, but that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, I might have thought for Balta Acher your wife would also be punished. Because why? Because Balta Acher is similar to a case. No. Balta Acher, Becha. Right? Velo Beishtacha. Right? So the Gemara says, well, what's the Havamina? Why would I have thought that my wife is liable to be punished? Because there is a parallel case, right? There is a parallel case where we do say that. But it does not carry over to the case of Baal Ta'akhir. Okay, Beseder, so it's not Baal Ta'akhir, but your wife will be delighted to hear this. Right? Could you imagine you come home from work, she says, you come home, Lucy, I'm home, and she says, Did you bring the korban? Did you go to Beis HaMikdash? Right, because it's Baal Ta'acher. There's like on the calendar. There's like a big red circle, right, that says you gotta bring it today. Right? And why is she nervous?
If I'm home, we'd all be in trouble.
Do you know? My wife is not such a. She does not have the bakiyas in television that I do. Not everyone, few people can reach my godless, my madrega.
Hard to imagine.
So we were first married. I used to walk in. I thought it was funny. I'd say, I come home the end of the day, I say, Lucy, I'm home. She had no idea what I was talking about. And then
for
she
40 years.
And then she would say, how was your day? And I would say, I told you, never ask me about my business. This one time I will allow you to ask me about my business.
Did she understand that?
She
one?
Had never seen The Godfather.
Only
2 years ago I finally forced her to watch The Godfather. You get to that line in The Godfather and she says, that's what you were talking about. I said, yeah, what did you think? She said, I had no idea what you were talking about.
It's like Bill Gates. Bill Gates is famous for not having a TV when he grew up. He didn't like watch it, so he like is missing all those cultural references. He's talking about like Gilligan's Island or Brady Bunch. He has no idea what he's talking about. He just didn't have that. So.
Would you trade all of that? Would you trade all of that?
Yes.
To be Bill Gates, it's a real bargain you'd have to make. To it's a Faustian bargain. So the Gemara says...
Wait, I don't know if they're going to get to this, but... So what about the other Taryag mitzvot? How do we learn there that your wife's not punished?
No, so you don't need there. Okay. There's the idea that your wife is punished for a particular sin,
right,
is a chiddush about the unpaid debt. Because that is a posuk.
Right,
the posuk says if you don't pay your debt... They can.
What's the category of debt?
No, in other words, generally speaking, there's no havamina. You don't put on tefillin. There's no havamina.
Right, there's lots of other mitzvot that are related to debts that clearly we need a pasuk for each one of them.
So there's one pasuk.
No, because here we needed a pasuk to tell us that the pasuk about debt doesn't apply to the korban. So it says lecha, right?
Right.
So what about like I don't. Let's think of some other mitzvah that involves money. You know, when you steal a cow and you got to pay back 4x5, and if you don't pay back, your wife's going to die. How do you?
That's the mission. There's no pasuk in Mishnah that says that.
No, the pasuk in Mishnah doesn't talk about.
But the Mishnah talks about debt in general.
No, they're saying you might learn from the pasuk in Mishnah. Yeah. Maybe it also applies to.
Maybe it also applies here.
It doesn't.
So here we needed a special pasuk that tells us it doesn't apply here. So I'm asking, how do we know that it doesn't apply when you steal a cow and you got to pay back 5? How do you know there?
Maybe there
it does apply.
Maybe it does.
There's no pasuk, so it doesn't apply.
Maybe that this pasuk applies to any time that you have.
Right.
If you have to pay tashlumen, if you have to pay. If you have to pay nezek, you have a debt. And as if I incur nezek, if I smash your car, that creates a debt to you, right? So if I don't pay that debt, so then maybe that is a case.
Right, there she goes.
Right? This is a case of debts. So that's the point. Baal Ta'acher is not a case of an unpaid debt. Right? It doesn't fall under this category. But all the other mitzvot that are not debt-related, right? You should put on tefillin. You don't put on tefillin, there's no havamina. Why? Because there's no posuk. Right? Now, I point out this is one drasha of one unknown meaning. We're not sure which Amora says it. Okay. So,
a woman, can a woman make a net right to bring a carbon?
Yeah.
And who's it incumbent upon to do that?
The woman?
She slaps the
guy. So does that do with the husband there?
I mean, generally speaking, we say that Chazal had an idea of the joint bank account in the sense that everything the woman owns, the man owes. That's why, like in the not so long ago, women weren't allowed to have credit cards or open their own bank accounts. Now they're allowed. We won't tell your wife.
Which country? It depends.
And as you know, like until like the 50s or 60s, women couldn't have bank accounts, meaning married women. They couldn't have their own bank account, their own separate credit card. Why? Because the fear was that she would spend money. And her husband, she'd come home. This is an I Love Lucy episode. She'd come home at the end of the day, and Ricky would see what she had bought, and he'd go through the roof, and she'd have to return it to the department store. So nobody wanted to give women this credit because they didn't have agency over their own finances. So that's why Chazal, what where do you see this in the Torah? From the idea in Nedarim, the idea that the husband has veto power over his wife's Nedar. She makes a Nedar to bring a Korban. So the husband could say, oh honey, that's wonderful. We talked about the sugya. A woman makes a Nedar, she's going to daven a Mincha Maariv every day. So the husband says, as long as it doesn't get in the way of getting my dinner on the table, Edith. Right? That's, Archie comes home, he sits down, he says, where's my beer? You tell me Bill Gates wouldn't know what we're talking about? So where's my beer? I'm right away, Archie. But if he sees that Edith's in the corner, daven Shmon Esrei, so he might have a kapeda that that his wife is took on this edish davening marav.
I hear there's a new show they're making a remake.
Oh no!
So.
I'm not sure which is the bun. You talking about in TV or in the Gemara?
So. Yeah, so you see, the husband has rights over his wife's nadarim because he could say, I don't want to pay for your korban, right? But generally speaking, if the husband isn't mefir the neder, so then she's chayev to bring it, then it has all the dinim of balta acher, and you want to know who's going to die if she doesn't bring it. So maybe it only flows in one direction.
That's my question.
Anyway. Again, I don't know that you have to take this this Haggadah literally. You should take it
similar, like, you know, to the folk things of, like, you know, Ashloshan Verot
Nashim Meitot. Yeah, yeah. You know what Moshe says about that Mishnah?
Rav
Moshe Feinstein. There's that Mishnah which we say on Baba Madlikin, Ashloshan Verot Nashim Meitot B'Shat LeDatan. Right? If a woman didn't light Hadlokas Neros, so when the next time she goes to the hospital to have a baby, she's going to drop dead. So what does that mean? No. Generally speaking, whenever there's a Shas Sakana, right? In other words, there are moments that are dangerous moments. So those are moments in which God is poked. He, like, you know, like, you're susceptible. Since you're already in danger, right? Because childbirth is a dangerous thing. Right, so then all the averus that you're carrying around are particularly dangerous, right? Like, why would you want to go into a matzav, you know, carrying around all those averus? So Rav Moshe says that Mishnah means al shalosh averot nashim meitot b'shat leidatan. You have to read it as rak al shalosh averot nashim meitot. Meaning there are thousands of different averot. What if the woman spoke a lot of lashon hara? So when she's giving birth, she has chasinut. How do you say that? She's immune from all of the averus that could be working against her, right? Except for these three. These three are the only ones that don't. Why? Because these are the three particular womanly mitzvot and childbirth is a womanly type thing. And he flips it on its head.
Doesn't make it sound that much better. You still, like, you know, you point at somebody who died and said, ah, well, I know.
No, but said it, that's something else. In other words, the fact that women used to die in childbirth much more commonly, and today, Baruch Hashem, it's quite rare. I'm sure somebody must, but I don't know of any women that died in childbirth. So, yeah, but it's extraordinarily, I mean, relatively speaking to, you know, in the days of old, everybody knew somebody who died in childbirth. So so then afterwards, whenever the Gemara says that this avera leads to death, that's kind of proscriptive. Like, you know, when you're considering, like, the temptation of an avera, you should understand that this carries very severe consequences. But when you see somebody dies, the last thing you should ever do is say,
"He died because."
Why should you ever go to a funeral? Every one of those people are a sinner. If you think that death is the natural consequence of sin,
I don't.
So that's why it's only proscriptive and that should never be used as something. This is what Rabbi Soloveitchik always said about tragedy, right? In other words, to ask the question of, like, you know, why God did this, right? To try to think that you can get into the imagination and figure out this is a punishment for that. What did this? What's his name? Shalom Rav Shalom Cohen today said you shouldn't go to,
okay, you shouldn't get the ultrasounds
because if you kid is going to die, God forbid, or has a birth defect or whatever it is. Anyway, it's a punishment for our sins. So this is outrageous. I mean, with all due respect to a member of the Bet Din HaGadol. Yeah, train accidents or anything. It's right. So it's to my mind, it's just absolute yuhara. The idea that we can imagine how God runs the world.
There's a fascinating chupa by one of the Rishonim, which talks about. He talks about the Tanatokef.
Yeah.
And like, you know, miyachiv and miyamut, and he said, like, what's the answer? He said, well, people said to him, like, so if it's miyachiv and miyachmut, it's nechma and roshana, so then what? So, like, if there's a plague coming to the city, do I have to run away? Why should I run away? It's already set in by the beginning of the year. So what? So he says, no, it's not like that. And he writes this in the 1400s. It's a very modern idea. He says, no, there's everyone has a tochelet chayim. You have a certain lifespan. You're pretty much, which is determined by your birth and certain things, your genetics, basically. And you'll pretty much live that lifespan. You can do things that to endanger that. You have to be careful about. You have to be careful of your health. You have to get enough sleep. You have to get enough mental rest, things like that. Eat well. Exercise, but he says, well, what's it talking about the miyachemim? Said no, it doesn't apply to most people. It only applies in the case of sins that the Torah itself says are explicitly going to be. You get like death, you know, mitamei shamayim. Everything else, none of that stuff applies. You have to worry. You know, it makes the time hookup seem a little less scary. Than the city is, no, because otherwise, we're totally responsible for our own actions.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, so this question of like, okay, so when we're done with all of that, limiting it to this one case, what does this mean? What does it mean that the Amora says that that bechozot there is a situation where a woman dies? So what's the obvious biblical antecedent here? Rachel. But remember, Yaakov, when he was leaving Eretz Israel, made a neder that he would come back and bring a korban on the matzeva that he had made on his way out. And he didn't do it right away when he came back. And she dies when they get to Eretz Yisrael. So the Midrash says that her death was a result of the fact that of Bal Ta'achir. Right, he made a neder. He didn't pay it on time. So that seems to go against this Gemara. So the Meshech Chochma points out the Gemara in Shabbos says that Enochinami, a woman, is susceptible to punishment if her husband makes a neder and never fulfills it for whatever reason. But if he's late in fulfilling it, so then, like Bal Ta'achir, then she's not susceptible to any punishment. Yaakov Avinu, the Meshech Chochma says, did not ever fulfill that neder.
Well, once she's dead, then like
no. So in other words,
like you don't
so,
even, like I mean
no. But in other words, the point here is that he could never have fulfilled the neder. Why? Because on his way out, it's a strange Meshech Chochma. On his way out, he made a neder. He was going to bring on this matzeva. And instead he comes back, he makes it on a Mizbeach. Because while he was gone for all of that time, he was gone for 22 years. In between, we stopped being Makriv on Matzevot. What's the difference between a Matzeva and a Mizbeach? A matzeva is one flat stone. A mizbeach is a combination of stones. It's a built entity. Because even though the avot had used to bring on matzevot, at a certain point, it was a practice that was adopted by the heathen idolaters. It's that example of the thing that used to be mutter and it becomes usser because it gets adopted by avodah zarah. So he was unable to do it. So Besedis, he was unable to do it. You can't blame a guy for not fulfilling a neder if it suddenly becomes impossible to. Let's say a guy makes a neder, he's going to bring a goat as a korban next time he goes to Yerushalayim.
That's the reason that even though he could have said, why should he die?
No, so you know, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he couldn't do it or wouldn't do it because it becomes impossible. So then why is he punishment? Because he waited too long. Had he come back earlier, it would have been before the Matzeva became Usur. But if he came back earlier, a question on the Meshech Chachma, he wouldn't have had Rachel. He had to stay all those years in order to work for Leah, work for Rachel. Maybe he could have left without the sheep. Anyway, you can look at that Meshech Chachma. All right.